I'd like to say good evening to everyone who came back this evening. And this evening, I want to talk about a subject that most of us are familiar with. This is something that is not new, because we've been told this and we've been taught this for many, many years. So it really should be just something that just a refresher course. It's nothing all that complicated. But I wanted to talk about important things about the church and the New Testament. The church and the New Testament. But first of all, we want to understand that the prophecy about the New Testament church came from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The word of that of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 2 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established at the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." You notice I don't have a presentation behind me. I did put one together, but it didn't come out just right. So we're not going to be looking at anything today from up there. Also, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, whenever it did come to pass. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon the rock I will build, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." In other words, there is nothing that can stand against Christ's church. Back in Daniel 2:44, "And in these days, these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed." This process here, Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar about a dream. He dreamed about was going to be, and that it was going to crush all of those other kingdoms. Iron, bronze, clay, silver, gold. All the things that people were trying to set up, it was going to crush that. Also, another important thing about the church is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" In other words, God's Spirit dwells in each one of us whenever we do what he has commanded us to do. "If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you?" And we're not holy when we're doing those things that will destroy the temple. In other words, there are a lot of things that people do unrepentant of sin. They won't repent of it. Lying, stealing, all of the things that God is against. The temple of God cannot be with us. Also in the old temple, in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 1 through 14. "The glory of the Lord filled the temple, and there was law also in the temple." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. "Ye are God's building, as the whole congregation of Israel were formerly considered as the temple and habitation of God before God dwelt, because God dwelt with them." So here the whole church in Corinth is called the temple of God, because all genuine believers have the Spirit of God to dwell in them. And Christ has promised to be always in the midst, even of two or three who are gathered together in his name. In other words, he's talking about the local church here. Therefore, where God is, there is the temple also. God has invested in each one of us. Whenever we come into the knowledge of the truth, we obey it because of his son's death on the cross. So he has invested in us. Another important thing about the church is the bride of Christ. As we read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 30, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What Paul is doing here, he's comparing a husband and wife relationship with the church. Verse 2 says, wives, submit yourselves unto the Lord, your own husband. In other words, be faithful as unto the Lord. Verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. No man but Christ is the Savior of the body, because he's going to come back one day for his. Verse 24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be in their own husband everything, to everything. Husband. In other words, man. This is how man should love his wife. Husband, love your wives, even as church as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that it might sanctify or set apart and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, but he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot, a wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. In other words, the body of believers is to be the same way. Verse 28 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And we want to love Christ's church. Verse 29 says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. You cannot hate yourself and still nourish and cherish it. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. In other words, we are the body of Christ. Another interesting point about the church in the New Testament is the church is the body of Christ. It was the bride, and it's also the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 says, who now rejoices in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for my body's sake, which is the church. In other words, Paul went through a lot of things when he was performing those things that he was to do for Christ. He went through a lot of hardships for the cause of the church and of Christ. Paul is a member, or was a member, and is still a member of the body of Christ. The Lord himself suffered his apostle to suffer, but it's for a cause. When we suffer, we also suffer for a cause also too, because we are faithful to Christ. And there may be many things that we may have to suffer also too, being a member of the body of Christ. When you tell somebody that you are a member of the Lord's church, you may get into a lot of verbal things, or people may say things or make you feel like that you are no one, but you still have to go through it. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 33 says, I have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ is the divine ruler. God appointed Christ head ruler over all things for the benefit of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. In other words, as members, we will still have to suffer in some way, because the body of Christ has many members, and there are many things that do happen to those members whenever we do suffer, whenever we go through these things, we suffer. There's another, something else that's important about the New Testament church. The church is the kingdom of God's Son. He's a New Testament church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we are the saints, and now we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. In other words, we are thanking the Father. He has made us fit to share in the salvation of the saints. He has made us that to share in that whenever we obeyed him. Verse 13 says, in Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're talking about the church. Those who have been called out of darkness through the preaching of the gospel, this good news, and that's what a lot of people need to hear, is the good news. That's why we've been sent, we invite someone to hear this good news right here, because at one time, perhaps maybe we may have been in darkness also too. There were things that all of us probably have done at one time and we didn't know any better. But until somebody told us that this is wrong, that's wrong, we could still be in the same state right there. So when we know better, then we do better. And that's what's happening with us also too. We've been called out of darkness, and it was through the preaching of this good news. We may not have understood it all at that time, but we kept on assembling, we kept on listening, and there was something that was said that clicked in each one of us. Probably said, okay, that's the way that I used to be. I used to talk like that. I used to walk that way. I used to go to places that I don't go to anymore. And sometimes we can't believe that this is the way that it was, you know, with us in our life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember Daniel, what Daniel said back in Daniel 2:44? He said that the kingdom would stand forever. This kingdom shall stand forever. Why would it stand forever? Because of the church. Because of what Christ did when he came and he went through the things that he went through. When Christ came, he set up a way where man could be saved. Because man was lost. And if it had not been for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming, then we would still be in a lost condition. And that, yet there are a lot of people who still feel like that they are saved. You know, no matter how much you talk with some people, they still feel like that, hey, I'm okay. You good, I'm good. But then the thing of it is, though, what we need to do is see what God's word is saying about how they were saved. And eventually I'll get to the point right there how we're saved in this New Testament church also, too. But for right now, we just want to go through this part of it here. There's another important thing about the New Testament church also, too. The church is called the house of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave himself in the house of God, which is the church, the living God, church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In other words, what Paul is saying here, if I delay long in visiting with Timothy, I want him to know how to conduct himself in church affairs. And these are things right here that every man should know how to, especially if you're in a leadership position, how do you conduct yourself in the church, in church affairs? What do you do when those situations come up? And there will be situations come up among members. There'll be situations come up among people that are not rooted and grounded in God's word. So this is where we have to study God's word. And we have to help them to understand, this is not what I'm saying. This is what God's word is saying. This was written before you and I were even thought of on the scene. So we carry it out just the way that it's done in the scriptures here. Christ's church is God's house. And every believer is an inhabitant of God through the Spirit. Also in Matthew chapter 21, the verses 13, we're talking about the church is called the house of God. And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, and I say unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it into a den of thieves. And what was going on, extortion, corruption, money changes, all of those things that was happening, Christ knew this was happening. And this can't happen in God's house or Christ's house here. Also in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verses 1, the Bible says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. So in other words, whenever we come in, a lot of times people don't really realize what they are doing. So we want to be able to hear what God's word is saying and not give to the sacrifices of fools. In other words, we want to give in to these individuals that are doing the wrong thing. For they consider not that they do evil. In other words, it's not even on their mind that they are doing something against what God has not authorized. And it includes if there was something like a piano over here or guitar, or you got a praise team, or you got people that are doing things that they shouldn't. Okay, you got somebody selling something after you leave the building here. Those things right there, those are not what God has authorized. In Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 12, this is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain. The whole limits thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. In other words, we want to keep this a holy place and not bring in a lot of other things that God has not authorized here. This is the law of the house. Also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What we're saying here is give honor and respect to God. Don't abuse the house of God, because if you do, then it's going to come back on you. And I'm sure we all remember what the sons of Eli were about in 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verses 12 through 36. And you can turn over and read it if you want to, whenever you get a chance to do so. The sons of Eli and the things that they were doing. And they thought that that was wrong. I thought that that was right, brother. And they were doing the wrong thing. Also in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, we also talk about Samuel's son and how they were bribing and perverting judgment and all of those things. Their father made them a judge, and they took advantage of that. This is what was going on in the house of God here. And we know whenever somebody is in a position, if you are a leader or someone in authority, there may be someone in your family who you might think that may, well, that'll be a good person to do this or to do that. In some cases, not so. Because those sons may not be rooted and grounded, perhaps maybe like you were. And that's what the case, this is what the case was back during that particular time also too. So we have to watch what's going on there. There are some more important things about the New Testament church. The church. Christ's church. The one that you can read about in the New Testament. You can't read about any other church in the Bible, in the New Testament. but Christ's church. It's named after him. You don't find these denominational names, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, all these things here. You cannot find that in the Bible. So we're talking about the church. And most of us are familiar with what Matthew 16, 18, and 19 is talking about. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, which is something about you showing ownership and possession of it. My, that's what my is. So an ownership. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Talking about one. It's not talking about a multiple churches here. He's talking about one. That's it. He's the one who came, hung, bled, and died upon the cross for it. So he wouldn't be talking about one that's named this name or one that's named that name. Have you ever gone down the street there or whatever in your neighborhood or something, and you see a name up there, and then you go somewhere else and you see another name, and perhaps maybe you might get in a conversation with someone, and they'll say, okay, well, you know, like we do what you do there. We love the Lord. Yeah, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. That's what the Bible is telling us. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. He didn't command you to name something else after someone else. If I were to come in here, and if I were to start calling Rob Virgil, that would be a problem with that. And I'm just using you all as an example. Don't mean nothing by it or nothing like that. But this is one of the points right here. Or if you start calling me by another name, and I tell you that my name, what my name is. Or if you saw a lady, and if you start calling her by a different name, her last name is whatever it is, you wouldn't be happy about that, I'm sure. And the same way with any one of us. We would be that way. And it's the same way it is with Christ. If he came to the sin-cursed world, hung, bled, and died on the cross, and then somebody named what he hung, bled, and died on the cross for, if you name it something else, how do you think he feel looking down from heaven? And he said, okay, well, that's not something that I did. Or the worship service may not be the way that it should, that he left it. He's not going to be pleased with that either. And the church is an assembly of those that are called out of darkness through the preaching of the good news. And thank God for that preaching of the good news. We thank God for those men like Paul, Peter, John, all of those men. They were men just like me, you, or anybody else. They had their faults, but they had a purpose. And they came here and they fulfilled what they were supposed to do. And thank God for that, because if they hadn't, then we wouldn't be worth anything now. So anyway, also in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, and to make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Okay, in other words, this was to be made known by the church. Verse 10 says, to the intent that now unto the principalities of power in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he, talking about God, purpose in Christ, Jesus our Lord Christ, is the blueprint of what God wanted done. So that's why we need to follow what he wants us to do. Another important thing about the New Testament church is the church of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul called to the apostle, in other words, one sent of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, I might be pronouncing the name wrong, our brother. Now, Sosthenes was not an apostle. He was a minister of the gospel. So we don't want to mix him up as far as being an apostle here. Verse 2 says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. Sanctified means set apart in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. In other words, being baptized. We can't just call upon him and say, okay, well, Lord, save me. Lord, do this, but we have to be also be baptized also. In other words, his aim was to bring the Corinthians closer to God expectation for those he had made his own, those men that was called. That's what he was trying to do, was bring them closer also to the expectation after God made them his own. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and the verses 6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 6, one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Malachi chapter 2 verse 10, have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, untrustworthy, or unreliable, every man against his brother? Also, the church of the firstborn was another interesting thing about the New Testament church. And using Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. In other words, God reserved something for himself. The firstborn, which is written in heaven, and to God, to judge of all, and the spirit of just men made perfect. Verse 24 says, and Jesus, the mediator, in other words, the go-between right here, of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, brother, and to the blood of sprinkling and speaking better things than that of Abel. The name of the faithful children of God are enrolled in heaven. And you can turn over to Luke chapter 10, verse 20, or Revelation 21, verse 27, or 1 Corinthians 15, and the verses 20. You can turn over there, and it talks about those people that are written in that Lamb's Book of Life. First one, James chapter 1, verse 18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruit of the beginning of his creatures. God begot men by the word of truth concerning Christ. In other words, the thought is here, our reproduction. In other words, you produce as Christian. When somebody hears the word and obey it, and you tell somebody else about it, they hear the word, they obey it. All you're doing is producing other Christians, and you produce them the way that the first church did. In other words, we need to continue to tell individuals what they must do in order to be saved. The church of the Lord, okay, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 30, Paul is telling the elders, to take heed. In other words, give attention and beware of. Take heed, therefore, of yourselves and all the flock, over them which the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Why? Because he purchased this with his own blood. And that's why we need to take heed. He was telling those elders that, and you have to do the same thing with brothers also too today. Verse 29 says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And verse 30 says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 is talking about false prophets and teachers. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 is talking about false prophets and wolves in sheep's clothing. And this is one of the reasons why we have so many denominations now, because someone did not tell someone, and somebody else was able to sneak in, and that's why a lot of names, denominations, that story. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says, take heed, in other words, give attention to, unto myself, unto the doctrine, thyself, yeah, unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear you. In other words, you will save yourself from the coming apostasy. Pronouncing that wrong. But Also, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, I marvel that you are so soon turned away from that call you, that called you into the grace of Christ, unto a different doctrine, a different gospel, rather. Also, the church of Christ, and something else important in the New Testament church. Romans 16:16 says, salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. In other words, there were different locations of the church of Christ back during that time. 1 Thessalonians 5:26 says, greet all the brethren with the holy kiss. 1 Peter 5:14 says, greet ye one another with the holy kiss of love or charity. Peace be with you, all that Christ, that are in Christ. Amen. And a holy kiss was something that the Christian did back during that time when it was going on. Other things that you should know, and I know our time is getting away from us here, but I'm not going to probably read all of this right here, but things that we should know about the Church of Christ here. You should know that man did not purpose the church, build the church, name the church, or either give. It's doctrine. One of the things that I like about this right here, name its people. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, right here, Barnabas and Saul assembled with the church in Antioch. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Okay, we have to give the church its doctrine. I didn't give the church its doctrine. In John chapter 9, verse 11, right there, we want to abide not in the doctrine. That's, 2 John 9, verse 11, right there. Abide not in the doctrine received. And we don't want to invite him into our house. I even wish him Godspeed. Another thing about we should know about the Lord's church, you should know that there are four classes of servants in the church. And those are elders, there are deacons, evangelists, and the members. And I won't go into a whole lot of that right there, but if you want some scriptures on it, I'll be definitely glad to give it to you. Okay, there are some more things about the Lord's church. Also, you should know that the faithful church must worship in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, must meet upon the first day of the week. They did it in Acts 20 and verse 7, Hebrews 10, 25. They must sing, not play. Ephesians 5, 19, Colossians 3, 16. They must pray, Acts chapter 2 and the verses 44. Continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and teaching. They must take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. There are some people who take the Lord's Supper on a Saturday at weddings or feasts and stuff like that, but the Bible doesn't teach that. They must give of their means, and we do those things. And you must know that the Christ himself established the church, what we said, Matthew 16, 18. He's the head of the church, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. And he hung, bled, and died. And he will save the members of his church if they remain obedient to his will. Ephesians 5, 23 and 4, 4. And you should know that the church was built by Jesus and not built upon Paul. It wasn't built upon the apostles or Cephas or any other man. For established on the first Pentecost after Christ arose from the dead. Also, in the New Testament church, there is a plan of how to be saved in this New Testament church. And the plan of salvation is what we follow scripturally about hearing God's word, Romans 10, 17, Matthew 7, 24. We must believe what we have heard, Hebrews 11, 6, John 8, verses 24. Repent, Luke 13, 3. Acts 17, 30 and 31. We must confess in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Romans 10, verses 9 through 19, and then we must be baptized, Mark 16, 16, and Acts 2, 38. But most of all, when we do this, we have to remain faithful. Revelations 2:10. Regardless of what come about, we must be faithful to the Lord. If there is some or someone here who has heard something that perhaps maybe they may want to know more about, or if there's something that is happening with them that they want to change in their life, you have an opportunity to do so as we together stand and sing this song of invitation here.